Hello, my name is Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork, One Another.
Mm-hmm.
The date today is the 3rd of October 2009 and the time is 9:20 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your name, your age and where you're from.
My name is Brandon Munoz. I'm 32 and I'm from Orange County, California and USA.
And how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Can I ask, going back to the beginning, what was it that motivated you to apply to be part of One Another?
It was kind of one of those fluke things that translate out here with my wife. We were just watching it one night and my wife just said, sign me up, we'll see what happens. And that was 2 days ago. And I guess, because I thought it was booked, but then it was just kind of the why not factor.
And when you found out that you had got a place, what happened then for you?
I was excited, and then when I started to think about it for a while, I got kind of worried that, you think to yourself you have a chance like this, and you think about what your really message is of life anyway. So you could just go up there and have fun, you can do whatever, you can do really important, like very, raise money, do all these things. It's like there's so many, it's hard to choose, basically. It's hard to choose what you're going to do. That was hard. It really was.
And how did you make that choice?
I just prayed about it and just let that happen and tried not to stress about it, try not to think about it too much. I definitely didn't ask for suggestions because that made it worse. So I just prayed about it.
And what did you decide to do?
I did a sketch, kind of a fishing for people, and the idea was that the plinth became a boat and Trafalgar Square was underwater and everybody was fish, and I brought various kinds of bait, mostly stuff from the pound shop, but I actually did buy some like nice shoes and glow sticks just so the cameras could see something going out there, and basically just try to see if people bit, and there was an overwhelming response for more stuff. People just want more stuff. So that was kind of what I was trying to get out of it. Hopefully it was just see what people want, and that's basically what I got. And then of course I like to share the gospel message in a way that, it's just not a straight preaching, which people just kind of tend to turn the switch off. So that's what it was about.
And you have just come down from the plinth.
Yeah.
What was your experience like?
It went a lot faster than I thought. I came here yesterday thinking it was going to just take forever and not have enough time, but it was very, looking down on people, but I like just being part of something that's happening, and what you say or what you don't say or what you do or don't do kind of sets the scene for the night, and but it was definitely harder than I thought. It's not easy to do that. I mean, because I guess you could say I'm a professional, I'm speaking publicly all the time, but it's just much different when you're supposed to be art. You know what I mean? Where people didn't come to listen to you, You're trying to, yeah.
And why did you decide to do what you did? What was the meaning behind it for you?
The meaning behind it for me was basically what Jesus says, I called you fishers of men and women, of course, but reaching for people's hearts and trying to hopefully catch them with what matters, not just giving them stuff, but the first disciples were fishermen. And why I decided to do that, because I think the metaphor still is, it still works, even though we're in this age and all that. There's just some things that just, there's a reason they're that way. So I still think the metaphor works, and I think Trafalgar Square was a good place to approach that metaphor and see what it turned out.
Can I ask you to speak a little about yourself now?
Uh-huh. Well, I came Well, I'm 32 now. I lived in London for 6 years. Me and my wife, about 6 weeks after we got married, came to the UK to be missionaries and work with people and share the gospel and always love, you know, not just work with people, love people and really try to help people. A lot of young people with mental illness. Basically, we have a church in Camden called Freedom House, and it's not just a church for people with problems to work out and then, you know, have faith. It's just really discovering that a life of faith is it's not just to sort out your drug problem or sort out, you know, your money. It's really just to see that you can interact with the creator of the universe and really just in prayer. You know, it's not just I want this, I want that. It's like you're talking to something bigger than you, but it's connected to you. It's right, like as close as you are to me. It's like intimate but vast, and that's what I live for. So when I was 21, my life changed. I should be in a straitjacket. I did so many drugs that, you know, I was just almost lost my mind. But I can only sit here and make a sentence because I believe God healed me, and that's basically what I decided to do with my life. So that's why I'm out here.
And why did you decide to come to the UK?
Well, it was an invitation. I had not planned. I never even I knew I wanted to get out of Orange County, and I wanted to see more of the world. And I'd been to places, you know, like Ghana and East Europe, and, you know, like Romania, and I had a feeling I was gonna go somewhere, but I didn't know it'd be UK. But I think since I know why now, I just feel the UK is just in such a especially London particularly. For instance, tonight is something that can't happen in many cities but London, you know, where you get all kinds of people. I mean, the sea is vast in terms of nationalities and culture. It's just, it's rich. But at the same time, London also has, of course, I'm sure you know, it has its problems, you know. It's just, I believe it's a place that God wants to do something here. And most of all is to take up the restore the religious kind of, you know, we always see the empty church buildings or they turn into museums, or I think it's to restore something more, not just fill churches, but to bring life back into, you know, where people see that, you know, it's, people call it a postmodern, post-Christian society. I think God's moving in new ways and trying new things. That's why I think I'm here, to be part of that and to see that happen. And so, thanks for the opportunity tonight to express that. It's really cool.
And what does your role as a missionary involve?
Well, it's just, I feel like it's my job description. I try not to think of it just so much occupation, more of calling. But say, you know, to be on the 29 bus and where there's usually people just, you know, minding their own business, doing their own thing, and, you know, keeping your head down. And, you know, and I think it's not just part of being American, but to engage people, you know, to purposely engage people and not just make friends and, you know, be friendly as Americans are, I guess, known for. But to, I don't know, just be somebody who steps out of that, you know, like this is, you know, this is a lot of people in the city are just lonely and keep to themselves and don't want to even know what's going on in the next person's life. And not necessarily, like, I think that is a virtue into itself, is getting into people's business, but I think we can learn a lot from each other. And I'm not here to just tell them the right way, tell them about Jesus, you know, and they're gonna, but to learn, because this is such a great place to learn from, especially from other people and hearing their story and then sharing, you know, my story. And just, I think it's a great place, but a lot of it is not happening because of people just not doing that and not connecting and not understanding. You know, there's still multicultural society, but still segregated in many ways, you know, by choice. So I think I'm here as calling as a bridge building restorer of people's relationships. You know, I'm, like I said, that doesn't put me above anybody or anything. I just feel like I'm in between it all.
What's the church that you're part of?
It's Freedom House Church in Camden. It's at freedomhouse.org.uk. We're just in, right in, we really loved Camden when we came here. We saw it. We just felt that was a place where it would be good to see a church grow out of, rather than because there's so much creativity around there. I mean, like places like Camden and East London, there's just a lot going on. And I think God wants to tap into that creative spirit again. I know corporations are tapping into it too, but Camden, I believe, is a place that can, there's the book in the Bible called the Book of Acts, and there's a place in Jerusalem with all these cultures and all these people gathered together, and that's where God decided to start his church, is with a place where all these languages were. And I believe Camden's a place that it just, something like that can happen again, where people just learn to come together and go out and do something with it through God.
And do you speak publicly at the church?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know if I would call it speaking at the church publicly, but it's speaking in front of people. But we also do stuff like kind of like similar to what we did tonight that's out there, and we do music and share the gospel out there. Some people call it street preaching, but we just call it, you know, public displays, public expressions of, you know, of the gospel, of faith. And yeah, so we do it publicly, and yeah, I'm the pastor of Freedom House, so it's like I teach very often what people would call a sermon, but, you know, it's just try not to be different. And I think people these days want to learn, and I think God's called me to teach in different ways than just talking for, you know, half an hour. And that's why I felt the challenge today was to not just get up there and talk. As I said at the end, it would be easy for me to sit up here and just talk, but I think the great thing about art is that you respond, and that you interact, and that you question it, and that you draw your own conclusions. That's art. And so I wanted to approach this as a more art perspective, and I believe the gospel is art in the sense that it's like one and the same. It's a work of art, you know. It's like a truth. Here's a story about a God coming down, and it's like performance art, you know. Here he is, he dies and he rises again, and what's this about? What's that story about? And so I think it's been, the art of the gospel has been lost in the formula of it, if you get what I mean.
How have you settled in the UK?
I would think pretty well. I think me and my wife, and I got two kids, and I think we call it home here. And I think we really learn to appreciate people. We love Kentish Town. That's where we live. And I think if we have settled, I think it, and we felt it quite easy to settle into London. I don't know how. A lot of people don't. A lot of people want to get out. A lot of, you know, it's very transitional, but I think we've settled quite well with God's help, you know, because it's just, it's hard. I mean, we've moved maybe 6 times in 6 years, so not many people would say they'd settled, even though they've done that, but I think we've settled.
Can I ask a bit about your background in America before you came here?
Yeah. I was, like I said, raised in Orange County, and a lot of people would just put pictures of, like, I drove a Suburban around, or, you know, but it was just a suburb of LA, and I grew up, I have a Mexican background, but my family's been in California for 4 generations. My grandfather worked in the orange fields of Orange County, and, you know, before Disneyland came and got rid of them all. So, I mean, within 50 years, Orange County has, like, become from dirt roads to, you know, almost its own metropolis in a way. But I'm coming out of that as a, you know, I feel like I've come out of that background of just simple, hardworking people, and being able to, I'm only allowed, able to do what I'm doing because a lot of people worked hard and just did with what they got. And like my grandfather drew through the depression, my to allow my dad to go to college, to allow, you know, me to have a guitar, you know, and just things that just how it played out. So I would say I was kind of spoiled in the sense that, you know, here I was, and I was just, you know, it's a typical bored teenager, and then partied, and then not just partied, but then started to get into occult things, just trying to figure out what life was about, and doing, you know, hallucinogenics to the point where it's just, you don't even, you just go insane, really. And that's why I feel like what got me out here was just an experience of nearly going insane, and it should have gone insane, and but I really feel God met me there, and people just say, okay, you just went crazy in a different way. But it was complete healing, peace of mind. I just quit drugs very quickly, and without aid of this program or that. It just happened just by picking up a Bible and realizing that this story is for me, and there's some life to this. And that's that was 10 years ago, and I'm just carrying it on today. And it's a challenge to keep, you know, not just be an experienced faith, because it's faith is just believing when it doesn't even look like it's happening. So I believe in faith that I'm out here for a reason. If a lot of times things don't go as well as planned, but my wife and I basically moved out here in faith that this was going to be home.
What were your three words that you chose for your profile?
Gosh, that's a good question. I wish I could remember. I think it was Isaiah 58:12. So technically, one word, two numbers, and that's where I feel kind of where I say where the Bible. When you can read it like a history book, you can read it like a textbook, you can read it like a rule book, you can read it like all kinds of ways, but something happens when you read it like it's a letter to you and you're finding out who you are. Some would say that's just, you know, that's just a philosophy that's just schizophrenia, but Isaiah 58, I feel, describes me as it says, those from among you will restore the ancient ruins, they will repair broken walls and restore the streets in which to dwell. And I feel that refers to London and me coming here, and, you know, London, you know, it's a great city, and there's always building works, but about the heart of London, the you know, missionaries were sent out of this city for all over the place, and that's not really the case. It's kind of it's gonna be colder, I would say. There's still good stuff, but I'm not saying here I have the answer. I'm not saying here I got the plan, but it's just, I believe I'm just part of the story of that happening, and that's why I put that.
Do you feel any different now, having come down from the plane before you went up?
I would say so, yeah. I feel there's more of a freedom to my message, and that's what I feel like I've learned about in this whole experience, is that like the difficulty in of choosing your message. And then doing it, and then coming down, and, you know, things, some going like you plan, some not, but coming down and realize that, you know, like, I think it's refined the message in me and my approach, because I believe that's what we're discovering through this project, is that people have a message, and that everybody has something to say. You know, even though and giving them that platform to say it or do it, or whether it's laying there or, you know, dancing or just taking your clothes off, it's saying something. And I think that's what we forgot about life, and that's why I did the fishing, is that we're all so busy trying to get things and get the next thing, we forget that we have something to say, and we have something to basically, yeah, to say with our lives. And I'm being encouraged by that, to see. Not that I have what I have to say is better or this, but I know what I have to say is, it's true, because it's in me and it's worked, and I should be able to say it. So.
How did you decide what to wear in the plinth?
I'd seen what was on sale. I found it today. I went to a charity shop, saw a yellow scarf, said I think I'll go with the yellow, and then. But I realized I was thinking that it is important what you wear up there. You can't just, in the sense that. Drawing attention from far away, or just people remembering something like yellow, or, you know, it's red, or, you know, just, it's, I don't think it's something to just do in normal clothes, really. It's just you kind of have to do the performance bit a bit, you know, just like, because I think it's part of that expression, it's saying something, you know. So I was used the yellow, I think, now I don't know what it meant, but I thought it meant it's just a bit light, bright, you know. Yeah, I think, I don't know if I answered the question, but I chose knowing that had to be something, but I didn't choose a dog suit. It had to be just something, I was just thinking color.
And what's important to you at the moment now in your life?
My close relationships, making my wife feel at home here, our church is pretty small in comparison to a lot of things, but just seeing them grow as people and be free to express. I hope I encourage them to feel like they can express the message inside them and in their own way. And what's important to me right now is encouraging people to do that, and especially, you know, Christians or not, but that it's okay to embarrass yourself. But it's important to me to just make, for me to matter to people. Not in the sense I want to be important or be this, but just to not just waste my life trying to take things in, but to share things. That's important to me. Jesus is the reason that's important to me. He's the one who shared everything.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or to mention? Any closing words?
I would first like to thank the staff here for being very patient with me, because I was very late, and you guys were really, really, really cool. And I'd like to thank, this is Anthony, the guy who put it on. I think this is the sculpture of the future, is just tapping into the way you use communication and internet, and you know, this is not just marble anymore. It's sculpture was about putting life, you know, and for people to look at. And I think new sculpture is really just this. I mean, this is it. This is one of the ways, just showing that life can be on display. I think we learned that from reality shows, but I would really like to say that I hope and pray that the church as a whole can really tap into that and not just rely on, you know, our statues of Jesus and our traditions. Thank God for them. Thank God for the history. Thank God for everything. But I just pray that we can go out there and try something, experiment, and because that's basically what Jesus did. He took some mud on the ground and put it in somebody's eyes, and he was healed. I think that's art.
Thank you very much.